4. Let's turn in our Bibles there. Mark chapter 4. Beginning in verse 21 this morning. What a glorious time of worship. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for who you are, and we'd like the worship to just simply continue as we now give our attention to your word. Break through hard hearts this morning. Break through worried hearts. Lord, I pray that we would never be stubborn in anything that you're calling us to do, but we would just be absolutely willing, flexible, soft, soft clay in your hands, Lord. Instruct your people, instruct us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as Christians, we hear this a lot, but I don't think we totally understand it or appreciate it. As Christians, did you know that we are citizens of the kingdom of God? We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Think about that. Think about what God's kingdom is like. His kingdom is a kingdom of light, of power, of beauty, of righteousness, of love, of joy. It's an everlasting kingdom. His kingdom will never come to an end, and it never gets old. And as Christians, we can enjoy the benefits of his kingdom right now in our hearts and in our lives. And one day we're going to live in the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
We're a part of that kingdom. Think of it. Well, I want you to understand this morning, as it shows on the slide there, that God's kingdom is an ever-expanding kingdom. I want you to understand this morning that God wants to grow that kingdom. You may be a part of the kingdom and you may enjoy that kingdom, but listen up, God wants to grow it. There are still many people that God wants to rescue out of the kingdom of darkness and put safely into his kingdom of light. And we have a part to play in that process. Every single one of us. How does this kingdom of God grow? And what are our roles in that process? And what does God do in that process? Those questions get answered in our text this morning. You know, last week we looked at one parable. This morning we're going to look at three. These are called kingdom parables. Very, very important principles concerning the kingdom of God. So let's look at the first one, verse 21. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, "Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, I am convinced that these parables in our text this morning do speak very clearly about the roles you and I have in the expansion of the kingdom of God. And I think that's maybe a principle that we need to understand. It's very obvious, but understand it. Maybe you don't. If you're a citizen in the kingdom of God, you have a responsibility in the kingdom of God. Did you know that? You know, you may have been a Christian for a long time, or maybe you're a brand new Christian and you're enjoying the kingdom of God. You're loving the fact that you're saved. You're enjoying all these blessings of God, and that's awesome. I enjoy the kingdom of God, don't you? But could it be that you're living oblivious to the responsibility that you have in the kingdom of God? We all have roles to play. And it's a privilege. Think of it that way. It's a privilege and an honor and a great joy to be able to work with God in expanding His kingdom. This first parable is pretty simple, don't you think? In those days, they didn't have electricity. You couldn't just flick lights on with a switch. In those days, they lit up their houses with these oil lamps, little clay pieces of pottery with oil in it, a wick, and they'd light it. Every home in those days had at least one oil lamp. And every home in those days also had a prominent place on which to put that oil lamp. Some houses had notches in the wall. Other houses had lampstands, little pillars, some prominent place. And the goal was you light that lamp, you put it in that prominent place, and it distributes the light evenly so that you can light up the whole room. Well, Jesus asked sort of a crazy question here, expecting a no answer. So it gets dark out. Your house gets dark. You go turn your lamp on. You light the wick. Do you bring that in the house and put a basket over it? Do you bring that in the house and put it under the bed? No, obviously, you don't put a basket over a lamp. You'll block the light and extinguish the light. You don't put a lamp under the bed. You'll block the light and you might even start a fire. You take that lamp and you put it in the prominent place of the room to light up that place as much as possible. What's Jesus telling His disciples here? The kingdom of God is meant to be seen. This is a very dark world, and God's kingdom is meant to be a light. And we, as citizens in that kingdom, have a role to make God's kingdom visible. In other words, we are to shine. You, as a Christian, are to shine. You're to hold that lamp high. I want you to think for just a moment of all the various compartments of your life, the different venues. You know, a lot of us spend 40, 50, 60 hours at work, right? Think of that as a compartment. Maybe you spend a lot of time at school. You have this family that you're a part of. You have this neighborhood that you live in. Maybe this circle of friends, maybe these activities. Think of all those different compartments. And now I want you to think of every one of those compartments in your life as a dark room. Your role, your responsibility as a Christian is to go into each one of those dark rooms and light up the place. Go in there and shine. At work, at school, in every compartment. Well, how do you shine? The Bible's very, very clear. We shine, first of all, as Christians, by living decent, moral, law-abiding lives, holy lives, righteous lives that please God. And let me tell you, if you do that in this world that runs counter to all that, you're going to stand out. You're going to shine. People all around you may be using filthy language, partying, sleeping around, stealing, living in this sinful way. You as the Christian in that room, you're supposed to go in and live differently. And you know what? If you do, you will stand out and you will shine. That's part of shining. Now, somebody going to make fun of you? Oh, yeah. Is it going to be hard at times? Oh, yeah. But you have a responsibility to shine. Christian, we also shine by exhibiting the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Gentleness, love, self-control, peace, joy. Man, if you live like that in this world, you will shine. Christian, we shine in this dark world by, just simply think about this, doing good works. Being that person who helps people. Giving to people. Feeding the hungry. Clothing and sheltering the homeless. Are you the person that does that? Those good works, Jesus even said in the Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus equated shining your light with doing good works. You shine as a Christian when you share the Bible with people, when you share the gospel, when you share the truth with people. When you tell people about Jesus and your story. All of that is shining. And every single one of us as a Christian who enjoys the kingdom of God, we're called to go out and shine. And I want you to think about it this way this morning. As a Christian, and you're going out into all those various rooms in your life, think of it not so much as you trying to shine, but allowing Jesus to shine through you. I want you to, if you're a Christian, you have met the King of the Kingdom of Light. Jesus Christ is in you, the light of the world. Let him shine. There was a young boy who went to Europe one summer with his parents, and they toured all of Europe, and they stopped and they visited all of those big, great cathedrals of the past. Those big halls, and this kid was so impressed by it. The thing that impressed him most was the stained glass windows that had pictures of the disciples and the saints on it. When he got back home, his first time back in Sunday school, the teacher was talking about sainthood and asked the kids, what's a saint? And this kid thought back to that, and he said, a saint is a person the light shines through. That is absolutely perfect. That is the most beautiful way to describe our role, our response. We are the people that the light shines through. Don't put a basket over it. Don't hide that light. Shine. Look what Jesus goes on to say in verse 24. Still speaking to his disciples. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. What's Jesus teaching his disciples there? Well, loose paraphrase, he's essentially telling to his disciples, use it or lose it. He's saying to his disciples, you need to be very, very careful how you hear truth. You need to hear truth. You need to receive truth. You need to use truth. You need to apply truth. You need to act upon that truth. And Jesus said, if you do that, you'll get more truth. And then the process will continue. And you'll just get more and more and more truth. And your life will just become more and more and more fruitful. By the way, did you know that we serve a God who specializes in giving us more? He's such a generous, awesome God with abundant, abundant riches that he wants to pour out. Isaiah chapter 55 says, God doesn't just pardon, he abundantly pardons. Hebrews tells us he doesn't just save, he saves to the uttermost. Micah, he doesn't just give mercy, he delighteth in mercy. God doesn't just save the sinner and forgive his sins, he adopts him into his family. He gives him peace, joy, hope, and blessing. Our God majors on the more. And he will give more and more and abundantly, generously overflow your life as you receive and you take and you use. Now, if you listen to truth, if you hear truth, you don't receive truth, you don't act upon it. Jesus says you won't get any more truth. Oh, and by the way, you'll lose the truth you've already been given. Bottom line, Jesus is telling his disciples, you need to keep growing. You need to keep growing. Keep growing. Keep seeking the Lord. Keep reading the Word. Keep praying. Keep be a seeker of God's face. Growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. More, 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 and he'll give you more, more, more. I want you to understand something, and this is very, very important for all of us to understand as Christians. It is absolutely impossible to stand still in the Christian life. You are either climbing or slipping backwards. You are either gaining or losing. There is no such thing as a plateau in the Christian experience. Nor should you as a Christian ever expect to reach a plateau in this life. You have got to keep growing. So important that you do that. And some of you might say, well, do you ever get a break? We ever get a relax? Hey, listen. Growth in the Christian life is relaxing. It's peace. That's health. If you want to work hard and make it really miserable, then stop growing. That's when life becomes hard and difficult. Got to keep growing. By the way, that's true in every area of life. Think about it. You know, I studied Spanish for 2.5 years in high school, and I got straight A's. I got A pluses in Spanish. And at that time, I could carry a conversation in Spanish with some of my friends and with some of the teachers. But you know what? Today, I can't. Why? Because if you don't use it, you lose it. Think about it if you're playing a musical instrument. Maybe some of you started playing piano way back when. Or guitar way back when. But you've stopped doing it. You tend to lose what you've learned. But if you keep going and going and going and going, oh, you master the instrument. Becomes more and more fruitful. That is the same idea as a Christian. Now listen, we have a responsibility in the expansion of the kingdom of heaven. We have roles to play. Number one, shine. Number two, grow. Grow. And as you grow, the kingdom of God will grow and expand in and through your life. And understand that it is through healthy, growing Christians that God's kingdom expands on this earth. Grow. Shine. Very simple. Let's look at the second parable, beginning in verse 26. By the way, this parable is unique to Mark. Only Mark has this parable. I love it. Jesus still teaching, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Have you heard that? You remember that from last week? And should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. This is an encouraging parable. This gives you very important information about the kingdom of God. Again, we have this scene that would have been familiar to most people in these days, a farmer sowing seed. So here's a farmer. He goes out into his field. He sows the seed. And after he's sown all the seed, he's done all that he can do. He's finished with his job. Says he goes home and he goes to bed at night and gets up in the morning. And the idea is he just goes about his life. He's done. He may go visit that field. He may make sure it's watered. He might do some weeding. But he has trusted that whole process that's going on underground to God. There's nothing else he can do. You don't see him digging up seed. Hey, let's make sure it's germinating. He doesn't go. He sows the seed. He puts seed underground in a secret place. And moves on. Well, an amazing thing happens as he's going about his life. Underneath the ground, in the secret place, those seeds starting to germinate, starting to sprout. You could go out in the field and look one day and there's dirt. You go out another day and you see these little green things coming up. And it continues to grow. You got blade, you got grain, then full grain. And before you know it, you got rolls full of corn and grain. And then there's this amazing harvest at the end. And all of this is this mysterious but utterly supernatural kind of thing going on. In fact, it says in verse 28, "For the earth yields crops by itself." That's the Greek word automate. We get our word automatic. This automatic process happens. Look at verse 27 again. "He should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how." So the farmer is excited. All this stuff has happened. He hasn't got a clue of what happened underground. By the way, even with all of our technology and understanding, we still don't really know how that seed triggers life. In the modern era. I mean, we know a lot about seeds. We know a lot about their composition. But what triggers life? Some would say it's the forces of nature. I would say God's in charge of the forces of nature. So it's God. Think about it. You put that seed underground and it just starts to grow. What is all this saying about how the kingdom of God operates? Well, who does the growing? God grows his kingdom. God is the one who saves people. God is the one who converts people. God is the one who brings that harvest. You and I can't save anybody. God saves. What else does this say about God's kingdom and how it grows? God is always at work. Steady, steady, steady. Going from one stage to another. Think about how a seed grows. Steady work. We do not have a God who sleeps. We have a God who is at work. Always. Much of God's work is in a secret place. It's going on underground. And a lot of times we can't even see the work of God. Where is God's work taking place? In hearts. Inside people. In mind. In thoughts. And we can't look in people's hearts, can we? We can't, and a lot of people even have a hard time expressing their hearts. But that's where God works. And the idea is, when that seed, however it gets there, when that seed of gospel truth or biblical truth gets inside a person's heart, God begins to go to work on that heart. Slowly but surely growing it. And it may take time. It may take days, weeks. It might even take years. But God is at work. And one day that seed can sprout and that person can become born again and that person can become a member of the kingdom of heaven. So I want you to stand back a little bit. I want you to, here's the picture. You and I as Christians, we're farmers. All we're doing is we're out in our spheres of influence and we're shining and we're growing. And what else are we doing? We're sowing. Think of it this way. Your responsibility. Shine, grow, and sow. Shine, grow, sow. That's all you're doing. You're living your life doing that. And if you do that, seed will come out of your life, impacting people. Seed will go into somebody's heart. And then God begins to work. It may take a long time. You might not even see that person get saved. But God used you along the way. And there is a wonderful, wonderful harvest coming. God promises it. You know, some of you here this morning, you may be very busy sharing your faith. You may be busy out in your schools trying to shine. And you may even be getting a little disappointed because you don't see a lot of people coming to Christ or whatnot through your life. Or maybe some of you used to shine a lot and share a lot and you didn't see much results, so you stopped and now you've just sort of kicked back. This parable is so encouraging though. God is always at work. It is never a waste of time to shine. It is never a waste of time to plant seeds. It is never, ever a waste of time to give a gospel tract, to share to somebody. You have no idea what God's doing in people's lives. Some of you say, well, I've been sharing the gospel with my cousin or my brother or whoever for years. There's no way. Do you know what that person's thinking about those last few moments when he puts his head on the pillow? At night, in his heart. Did you know that God works there? Don't give up. Keep giving that seed out. Shine. So that's our only responsibility. And let God do that. And He's doing an amazing work. Some of you are not sharing your faith actively for various reasons. Maybe some of you are not wanting to live the Christian life. You're a Christian, but you want to live the worldly life. You kind of want to have both lives. I invite you to get over that. You need to surrender your life to Christ. Look, you become a member of the kingdom of God. Wouldn't you like your friends to become a member of the kingdom of God? Yet you'll live your life in such a way as to keep them in a kingdom of darkness? Really? What a friend. Some of you don't do it because you think it's way too complicated. I can't share my faith. I don't have a PhD in Bible yet. Do you need a PhD in Bible? Can you just shine? Can you grow every day? And look for ways to sow? It's all there. It's absolutely available. Your life can become so fruitful. Look at this third parable. Verse 30, Jesus still teaching his disciples. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Now, very quickly, understand that the mustard seed is not the smallest seed on the face of the earth. And the Bible critics love to point that out and say, see, they're wrong here. You can't trust the Bible. Listen, the Bible was not meant to be a book on botany. And by the way, that was the smallest seed that they planted in their herb gardens in those days. And it was a proverbial expression. And Jesus was speaking according to the knowledge that the people had in that day, using it as a proverb. The obvious thing Jesus was saying is the mustard seed's small. And it is. It is a very small seed. But when you plant that in the ground, it's an herb. It's categorized as an herb. But in Palestine, in Israel, when it grows, it can reach 15 feet high, a huge tree with branches. Birds of the air can nest. I've seen them. So what's Jesus saying about the kingdom? He's saying that my kingdom's going to have very humble beginnings, but it's going to grow big. It's going to expand. And we have seen that in church history, haven't we? Think about how Christianity started. Jesus as a carpenter in Nazareth comes on the scene and for 3.5 years in the public ministry. His followers, he dies on the cross and is buried. His followers claim that he rises from the dead, which of course we know that he did. But when it first begins, man, you find in Acts chapter 1, there's 120 devoted disciples. By Acts chapter 2, there's 3,000. A few chapters later, there's 5,000 more. It's estimated, when you get to about halfway into the book of Acts, there's 50,000 members of the church in Jerusalem. Then it goes out to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I mean, Paul gets set loose. The gospel goes through him. The gospel goes out. People all over have now gotten saved. Revelation chapter 7, looking towards the end of all things, says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Very humble beginning, but at the very end of history, you got multitudes from every nation, tribe, and tongue in heaven. The kingdom of God, humble beginnings, but it gets huge, and it's still growing today. And I'd like to give you another challenge as we look at that parable. The kingdom of God is still growing, and it can still grow through very humble things. See, I know a lot of Christians who think, well, I really can't be involved because what I have to offer, well, that's not all that much. Jesus said, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could move mountains. And I will tell you, take that small thing and plant it. And you watch God grow it. Shine, grow, sow, and do something, even if it's little. Go for it. Look what Jesus does with little things. Look what Jesus did with the loaves and a few fish. Pretty cool, huh? There's a woman by the name of Martha Berry, and she was born just outside the town of Rome, Georgia, in 1866, and she has a wonderful story. She was actually born into a wealthy family that owned a vast estate in that area, and she asked for a playhouse outside. And so her father had a cabin built for her. So wealthy. Hey, can I have a playhouse? Sure, here's a cabin. One Sunday, as she was studying her Bible in the cabin, Martha Berry heard the voices of children outside. She went out and saw some of the poor children from nearby Possum Trout playing. Miss Berry was a teenager at this time. And she called the children to her and began to tell them stories from the Bible. Her Bible classes met each week in her playhouse. She taught children that would never have had the opportunity to go to school. She taught them how to read and write. She taught them arithmetic and other lessons. Then in 1902, she had the idea to start a boys' school on nearby Lavender Mountain. She deeded land, raised funds, and opened the doors to students, and the Berry Industrial School for Boys was formed. The school continued to grow, adding a program for girls. If you visit Rome, Georgia today, you can still visit the house of Martha Berry, the one that she lived in until she died. You can also see the cabin playhouse where she taught poor children about the love of God. If you visit Rome, Georgia, you can see what her little mustard seed school has become. Today, Berry College sits on 28,000 beautiful acres of Georgia real estate. There are 38 major buildings and well over 2,000 students. Berry College is widely recognized as one of the outstanding comprehensive colleges in the southern United States. A school that had very humble beginnings has been a blessing to tens of thousands of Americans. Teenage girl teaching Bible stories to a few poor kids. Kingdom of God is growing. Are you a part of it? Did you know you can be? We're living in the last days. We're living in dark times. The kingdom of God needs to shine. And it's time for us as His people to let it shine through us. I invite you this morning. I want you to consider it. You might meditate on this truth. How committed are you in the kingdom of God? Would you bow your head with me? Lord, my earnest prayer this week has been that this would not seem too complicated. Because, Lord, it's not. It's simple. Don't let us make it complicated. Lord, we've met You. You've lit up our lives. Now light up other lives through our life. I pray that we would, if those of us here this morning who name You as Lord and Savior, it'd be a well-known fact wherever we go that we are with, that we are on Your side. We're in Your camp. Lord, I pray for those who maybe are weary this morning, maybe even discouraged. Because of apparently not seeing anything happening through witness. Lord, encourage us all. You are at work. You are working in people's hearts. And You can take things from our lives that we don't even know You're doing. And You can impact people. And we just need to be faithful, Lord. Encourage Your people. And then with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to extend an invitation. Are you in the kingdom of God? Are you a citizen in God's kingdom? Do you know the Bible says there's only two kingdoms? The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. You can't have one foot in each kingdom. You're either in the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. And simply ask, which kingdom do you stand in? I invite you, come into the kingdom of light. Come into God's kingdom. You do so by placing your faith in Christ Jesus, who died on the cross for all of your sins and rose again that third day. He died in that cross. He made that sacrifice to make it possible for us to be rescued from the kingdom of darkness and placed into his light, kingdom of light. But you need to receive him. So if you've never received Christ, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. The quietness of your heart. You say, Lord Jesus, you have been working on my heart. I know, I felt it. And right now, I want to receive you. I want to take hold of that truth. So be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Fill my life. Light up my life. Let's all stand. If you did pray to receive